Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing number 227, Praise Him, Praise Him, 227.
Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus, for God His children, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer, for our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
And you may be seated.
Well, good morning, Hillcrest Baptist Church. I hope you're happy to be in the house of God this morning at Hillcrest Baptist Church. We want to welcome everybody here this morning. I pray that you never take for granted this place of worship and coming together as a church body to worship Him. Have a few announcements for you this morning. Regular evening service tonight. We have ACT Teens at 5:30, so we hope you can participate tonight. Service or 5 o'clock is ACT Teens. 5 o'clock ACT Teens. And 6 o'clock is our evening service. On Wednesday, we have all of our regular activities, Mission Friends, RAs and GAs, youth, and prayer meeting. We ask that you come and join us in those activities on Wednesday night. And on Thursday, there's an opportunity to serve at Loaves and Fishes, and that information is in your bulletin if you want to look at that. But it is great to be here this morning, and that is all the announcements that I have other than just welcoming you to Hillcrest Baptist Church. So we're going to welcome each other, and as the way we're going to do that is we're going to stand up and we're going to wave from a distance as we sing. Thank you.
so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
And you may be seated.
Well, good morning. Dave, it is good to have you back. I tried to get overtime for doing your job. Although, if you watched, I don't do announcements. So, I want to read to you some scripture, and I want you to remember it because it's going to apply to the message today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Or the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember that, because we're going to be looking at David as he goes through stuff of life. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. So we're going to look at David and who he prays to, and he prays to the Creator God. So as I share with you from Psalm 63, verse 1, remember John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Let's pray. Almighty Father, what an awesome God you are. You are the only God, the only true living God. You're the God Most High. We worship you, Father, today. We exalt the name of Jesus. We are here to feel the very presence of the Lord with us. I pray, Lord, as we continue in this worship time, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would draw us closer to you, and Father, that our hearts would be desiring that you would convict us of any sin in our life, and that we would be repentant of that sin. And Father, that you would, as David would say, wash us whiter than snow. I do pray, Lord, that you would prepare us for that place that you've gone home to prepare for us. And Father, that we would look forward to the day that we see you face to face. God, I pray for those that do not know you. Give us a heart, Father, to share the Lord Jesus Christ with anyone that would be in our path, the opportunity, Lord, just to share what you've done for us. I pray, Lord, for our church. I pray your blessings on this church. I pray, Lord, that as we continue to work on the new building, Lord, that it would be a tool to reach others for Christ. As it comes along, Father, it's easy to get caught up in excitement, knowing that it's going to have adequate facilities, Lord, to house any kind of disaster relief that needs to be had on this side of the river. Father, use us, guide us through this whole process. I pray, Father, for those that are sick. So many people have come down with this COVID disease, and we lift them up to you, Father, and ask that you would touch them, and we pray for healing. And sometimes, Lord, that healing is the perfect healing, and we also ask, Lord, that you would prepare their hearts for you. Father, some are going to have surgery soon, and we lift them up to you, and some have had surgery this past week, and we ask, Lord, that you would help them recover. Father, we're going to read the scripture some more, and we're going to pray some more, and we're going to sing to you some more. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do and say would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was watching TV yesterday, the memorials for 20 years ago. And the question was asked, where were you when it all happened? And I knew where I was. I was watching TV, the morning news, when the planes hit. And I had three preacher friends that were coming up from Smithfield, Tennessee to Clyde, North Carolina to visit with me, which was about a five-hour trip. And as they were traveling, they had no idea what was taking place. So when they got there, I got to share with them that what had happened, and they were just shocked. So the four of us went to church. We were in a parsonage. He just walked across the grass to get there. And we went over to the church, and we got on our knees, and we prayed for this country. And we need to continue to pray, and we're going to watch a little video just to remind us as a memorial that we don't need to ever forget what took place. And as we look at it, let's continue to pray for this country.
When it first happened, the minutes felt like hours, the hours felt like days, and the horror of what happened, one detail after another, could hardly be processed, much less understood. Then days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into years. Memorials were built, wars were fought, victims' names were read, survivors tried to pick up the pieces, over and over again. But no matter how much time has passed, we vow to hold these memories. We will never forget those who were taken from us. The world changes and shifts this way and that. But one thing stays constant. One thing is steady. God. God weeps with us. God mourns with us. God bottles up our tears and records them in His book. He is closer to you than your own breath and remains the cornerstone of life. God is the solid ground holding us up as the world moves beneath us. It's as true today as it was on that day. Our God reigns. He reigns over principalities and powers. His dominion stretches beyond what our eyes can see. And when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, our God reigns. We will always remember.
Wayne, would you come up here and pray for our country?
Mm-hmm. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we thank you for this day and this wonderful world you put us in. And even though we have the struggles we have today, we ask that you help suffice all that and get that back on track. We also ask that you take care of this country and all the people in it and all the diversity we have here and protect us from all evil. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I told Wayne nothing like putting somebody on the spot. Thank you, Wayne. I want to tell you one thing before I sit down. You live in the greatest country in the world. And God's in control of this country.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 280, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross, 280. In the cross, be my glory and
that morning star shed his beams around me.
Please stand as we continue on with number 261, Wonderful Words of Life, 261. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for all that you are and all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for this church body that you have gathered together, Father God, and I just lift them up to you and commit them to you, Father, your service. Lord, as we sit here today and we worship you, Father God, we remember you. I pray for the offerings and the tithes, Father God. Pray, Lord, that you would use them to save the lost, feed the hungry, take care of your people. Father God, I lift up my pastor to you as he comes before the pulpit, Father, and delivers your word that you have given me. I pray, Lord, that you would use him as a vessel to speak through him to our hearts. Lead us and guide us, Father, in Christ's name.
All right, we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and Psalm 63 in just a few moments. So if you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 15. This must be a really good message because it has been spiritual warfare all week. And it's not been easy either. It's been really battle type of stuff. So normally when that happens, it's a message that the devil doesn't want you to hear. So 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 through 18, and then verse 23. 2 Samuel 15, verse 13. Now a messenger came to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." So David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servants said to the king, "We are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord the king commands." Then the king went out with all his household after him, but the king left 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. And the king went out with all the people after him and stopped at the outskirts. Then all his servants passed before him, and all the Cherethites and all the Perethites and all the Gittites and 600 Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath, passed before the king. And then verse 23, and all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook of Kidron, and all the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. The title of this is Joy and Peace in the Presence of God. And just as David was crossing into the wilderness, he felt joy and peace in his heart. That's a key thought of these verses. As he crossed into the wilderness, he had the joy and peace of God in his heart. I read a daily devotional I get by email, and it went like this, that life often takes us through the weary place in the dry land, parched land of the wilderness, on this thing we call life, where only God can provide the comfort and sustenance we desperately need. He alone is our present help in a time of trouble, and his compassion and mercy towards us is new every morning. And we, like David, as he wrote Psalm 63, can cry out, "O God, you are my God." So we look at 2 Samuel and see David's dilemma, and then we'll go over to Psalm 63 and look at how, not now, we're going to be in 2 Samuel for a minute, but later on we're going to look at Psalm 63 and see how David handled what he was going through in 2 Samuel chapter 15. So Psalm 63 later, but right now 2 Samuel chapter 15. So let's start out and see how what this dilemma was, what this wilderness was that David was experiencing. So look at 2 Samuel and look at verses 13 and 14 with me. Now a messenger came to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." So David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster among us, and strike the city with the edge of the sword." We know that David is running, fleeing from his son Absalom. I had to put my Bible down, my pen down, and pray through this. Can you think of anything worse than running scared from your own flesh and blood, from your own son? Not only that, but if you followed Absalom's life, you realize that David has poured out forgiveness to Absalom, mercy towards Absalom, allowed him to come back into the city because Absalom had killed his brother, because his brother had raped Absalom's sister. So when you think about that and him killing David's son, Amnon was 22 when Absalom killed him, and Tamar was 15 when Amnon raped Tamar. So again, I prayed through this. How often do we face things in life within our own families that can go back years and years, and we still struggle with those things? So David is now running from his own son because of deep sin committed in this whole family. So keep going and look at verse 23 again. "And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook of Kidron, and the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness." With weeping and sadness, the Bible says, David, those that followed David, and David himself, the king himself, crossed over to the wilderness. So I want us to take some time and explore what this wilderness may have looked like to David. For sure, it was not Jerusalem. Jerusalem was that city that he helped build, and he loved the city of Jerusalem because that was God's city. David took great care to build the city just like God wanted him to. He ruled there. As he went into the wilderness, he did not have the comforts that he had in Jerusalem. He had memories that were built in Jerusalem that he just carried with him. Now he couldn't see them. You know, so many times, I know what it is to see memories. I see kids that were 8 years old and I baptized them, and now they're 18 years old. Some way down the road, they got old and I didn't. Well, we see memories. You know what I'm saying? As we make great memories, they're always before us. And David had to leave those memories, although they were still up here. He leaves that city that he had helped build. He goes into the wilderness, and here's where my imagination takes place. There probably were enemies in the wilderness. There were probably dangerous animals in that wilderness. There wasn't food in that wilderness like he was used to getting in Jerusalem, that's for sure. There may not have been water, but I want us to go a little bit deeper and look at what his wilderness could have been, because Absalom was after him really to kill him, to take his kingship away. He'd already taken the city away. Do you think that maybe a little depression could have been following him into the wilderness? Maybe a little bit of guilt? A whole lot of desperation, because the Bible says he was fleeing away from Absalom. He was scared to death that one of them was going to get killed. David was running for his life. Well, let's keep on going and look to see what caused David to flee Jerusalem. So look at verses 8 through 12, 2 Samuel chapter 15, 8 through 12, just to remind you of what was taking place, why he had to run, why he had to flee from Jerusalem. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 8, "For your servant took a vow while I dwelt at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem," this is Absalom, "then I will serve the Lord. And the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. And with Absalom went to 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and did not know anything. Then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, and David's counselor from his city, from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number." So I wrote down some things about Absalom, David's own son. First of all, Absalom organized a political revolt. He was taking the crown away from his dad. After some 30 years of being king, David had to flee Jerusalem to get away from not only Absalom, but the people that he was recruiting. Chaos had taken place in Jerusalem at this time. Absalom had been building a base of support through deceit and lies, gaining a huge following. Absalom undermined the judicial system by meeting people on the way as they went to court to satisfy something they were needing. And whether they were right or wrong, whether they had a legitimate claim or not, Absalom would like pat them on the back and say, "I'm all for you. If I was the judge, I'd rule in your favor," drawing people into his rebellion. Absalom displayed a deceptive personality to those that passed by him. He was a liar, an adulterer, and a murderer. Absalom purposely deceived and lied to people in order to secure their support. Through deception and lies, he stole the people's heart, and they supported the overthrow of his own dad. Now here's the scary part. We call this an insurrection, and David was scared. So let's run over to Psalm 63 now and see how David handled this wilderness, how he handled this great dilemma that he was going through, this insurrection that was happening as Amnon was trying to take over Jerusalem. Many believe that David wrote Psalm 63 as he was going through this, and I'm one of them. 63 verse 1, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Remember what the wilderness looked like. Leaving Jerusalem, crossing the brook over in the wilderness. And the Bible tells us there's no water. There's no food like he's used to. For sure he didn't have his comfortable bed. He was running for his life. He was desperate. "Oh God, you are my God. I long for you. I thirst for you." David chose to seek God while he was in his wilderness. Now let's pause for a second before we look at how he addressed God. If you look at the United States of America today, you can almost see the same thing happening. We hear insurrection today. We hear lying and cheating and deceit. Heidi, we were talking about your business. Because of COVID, people are leaving, dying. They're not getting the business because they don't have help. You go to some of the restaurants and they don't have enough help, so they have to close a day or two. Some of us are getting the COVID. Some of us are getting attacked by our family. Within our own church, we have a wilderness. We get down. Would you agree with that so far? We get depressed. We get desperate. We want to flee. I think that's why God put this on my heart, to share with you his thoughts. And I think that's why Satan tried his best this week to keep me from delivering it. David addresses God, "Oh God, you're my God." God has many names that show different characteristics about God. When he cries out, "Oh God," that's the word Elohim. That's the God in creation. In the beginning was God, and God created the earth and the heavens. He's crying out to his creator, but then he says, "You are my God," which is El. And this is the root word meaning strength, in power, almighty. Remember John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, "In the beginning was God. He was with God, and he was God." This was also the pre-existent Christ, the living Word of God, as David went into the wilderness. He was crying out to God, hollowing, "Lord, help." But he wasn't doing it in a sad way. We'll get to that in a second. His prayer could have been something like this, and this is Jerry interpreting what I think he was praying because of the way he was crying out to God. "Oh God, my creator, creator of all things, God that would walk with Adam and Eve, or had walked with Adam and Eve, God the strong one, God most high, God supreme, the mighty God, my mighty God," as he prays to the Lord in his time of desperation or his time of fleeing from Absalom. There's power in David's words as he's facing stuff, the stuff of life, this unpleasant stuff, this dilemma that he's going through. When you pray, when you're going through what we're going through now, do you always remember God as your creator? God created us. He created this wood that built this pulpit. He created the way church is, where we have a preacher get up and preach his word to us. He created the heavens and the earth. He created your very bones. If he could do all that, don't you think he could walk with us through our dilemmas, our distresses, our desperations? As David addresses God from his wilderness, his desperation, depression, David says, "I will seek you." Now, there's a lot of hope in that. No matter what we're going through, you seek God. You seek the creator of all things. You seek the God that created you, and make it personal. You know, how often I've prayed, "Lord, you created this body, this mind." Sometimes I think God has a sense of humor. Sometimes I kid him about the mind he gave me. You know what I mean? Or lack of mind. But he did it. Whatever's up there, that's from God. Don, he created your old jokes. I mean, that mind that makes those jokes too. Oh me. I'm telling you, he's got a sense of humor. God created us, so we make it personal. And no matter what we go through, he created us, and he knows how to fix us. He knows how to ply us through the path that we need to take. David says, "I will seek you early." And no matter what David was experiencing, he makes it abundantly clear. He's fleeing from Absalom, but he longs and thirsts for God. Again, let me put my Bible down and tell you something personal. There's not a day that goes by that I don't pray for my son. And my prayer is, God, give him a thirst and a hunger for you. You know, we were talking about this earlier. Some of us have a pretty bad testimony, preacher included. I have drank beer, smoked cigarettes, cussed. stuff that I'm not proud of, but I did it. God changed my heart. And I developed a hunger and a thirst for Almighty God. And that's what I pray for my son. He takes something crummy out of my past and makes something good. Doesn't that sound like Romans 8:28? All things work together for good. He takes the junk, and somehow or another, he makes it work. David, no matter what he went through, had a hunger and a thirst for God. And it wasn't just he was in a pinch right now. He was fleeing for his life, but he'd been living a lifetime of praying to God, a lifetime of thirsting for God, a lifetime for hungering for God. When he was a youth out in the field, don't you know that when he went up against those lions and bears, Lord, I need your help now. You know what I mean? But he wasn't scared. He grabbed that animal by the, whatever you call that, the beard, and shook him and killed him because of God's power. So it wasn't just he was in a pinch now. This was his lifestyle, to hunger and thirst for God. So no matter what went on in his life, oh God, you're my God, and I will seek you early in the day, and all day long I'll thirst for you and I'll hunger for you. Verse 1 expresses David's thoughts. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. My soul thirsts for you. David lives a life deeply longing for God, deeply thirsting for God. He proves to us through his word that he had a very close walk with God. So let's pause for a second and go back to the wilderness now. The stuff we're going through, the COVID, the politics of this country, the mean-spirited stuff happening in the United States, the worldwide things that are happening, the water shortages in California and out west, the storms that we're having seem like every other day, the fires, the mudslides, I mean, earthquakes, you name it, we're having it. That's the wilderness. Early in the morning, God, I will seek you. All day long, I'll thirst for you and I'll long for you. And this isn't from a heart that's scared, Lord. I'm going to march through it and I'm going to take care of life. Because David made a choice that the Lord would never forsake him or leave him. Could you make that same thought in your mind? No matter what the wilderness looks like to us, what we're going through, God will never leave you nor forsake you. David knew the promises of God, and he repeated them to God over and over. As we pray, as we go through our wilderness trip, take the promises of God and claim them. Instead of getting down, depressed, and despairing, thirst for God. Long for God, repeat his promises to him. David had spent his entire life learning the care of God. I look out, we got all sorts of ages, from young. And some of your, I'm not saying nothing, Norma, about that hair part. Some of us are really experienced at dilemmas. We've lived a long time, and we know that God has never left us or forsaken us. And no matter what happens, we still have the hope of God in our life if we belong to him. And we know that God answers our prayers. David knew that. So he wrote Psalm 63 so that you and I could learn from it. So I'm going to share with you some habits that David shows us in Psalm 63. I call it habits of a Christian walk, so we can take God's word and apply it to our lives. There's 8 verses I want to share with you out of Psalm 63, and each one is an application to our life as we go through the trials of life, the wilderness of life, the crumbum stuff of life. First of all, 63:1. O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. A Christian walk, habits of a Christian walk, we should always thirst and long for God. Always. That ought to be something. Every single day we thirst. And as we thirst, we read, study, meditate, and then apply it to our lives. So whatever we're going through, thirst and long for God. Psalm 63, verse 2. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. We look for God no matter where we're at, in the good and bad. If we're going through a wilderness, we still look for God. We look for his power. And then 63:3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So as you're going through the wilderness, or maybe you've already gone over and got out of the wilderness, or maybe you're fixing to go across the river into the wilderness, you do verses 1 and 2, and then 3, you praise God. No matter what, you always praise God. Then 4, verse 4, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. A Christian should always bless God and exalt him and lift our hands up to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, you are my God. And then verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. A Christian should always find satisfaction in God with praise. From the poorest to the richest, it doesn't matter. We ought to be satisfied with God. Didn't Paul write something about being content? No matter what stage of life he was in, he was always content with God. Be satisfied being a child of God. Then verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. A Christian always have a time to remember and meditate on God, whether it be morning or night or in between. Always take time to meditate and remember who God is and what he is in your life. Verse 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. A Christian, as you walk with the Lord, should make a habit of rejoicing in God. And then verse 8, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. A Christian should always follow God and follow him closely. A short message, straight from God. Because of what we're going through, I think it's very appropriate for us to memorize, to go through Psalm 63 and practice it. Oh God, you are my God. Every day I will long for you and thirst for you. We're going through it right now. And it seems like the closer we get to getting that thing out there complete, we go through more and more here. Some of the spiritual battles have been stuff that Satan is just throwing at us. But you know, Satan's got no power when it comes to God. He is definitely our strength, our hope. But you got to know him first, don't you? You got to have him in your heart. If I had to say, I'd say all of us were believers sitting in here. But maybe not. I don't know. Only you and God know that. So I'm going to offer an invitation that if you don't know Jesus, please come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I have no idea what you're talking about. I won't embarrass you. We'll just pray and I'll show you how to invite the Lord in your heart. So we're going to sing a song of invitation, and then we're going to dismiss. So let's pray, and then we'll stand in a second. Our Father Almighty, this is your time for an invitation. This is your time to speak to us. God, if there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, today would be the day that they give their life to you. I pray also, Father, for us that do believe that as we're going through the stuff of life, this COVID is getting old, a couple years, almost 2 years old, Father, the things going on in this country and around the world, just bothersome, Lord. We need you. We need help. So today I pray that you would lift spirits up, God, that every single person that leaves here would be encouraged by the power of God. You are the God of creation. You are the God that's got all power. You're Almighty God. Father, there is no other. So we seek you out. Lord, if we're not hungering and thirsting for you every single day, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts during this time of invitation. And we'd all make a decision to seek you, Father, to really hunger for you and really thirst for you. And Father, we give you glory for what you're going to do right now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be standing right down on the front of this table. And we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if God has put something on your heart, please don't ignore him. Do what needs to be done, whatever he says do.
To rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spent. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me near, near, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Arabella, I can't tell you how long we've been praying for this. Your dad, Arabella's granddaddy, has been sharing since birthday Bible stories. And, you know, it's just a children's Bible, just stories. Let me get up here. So, it's still God's Word. Amen. And it still pierces hearts. And she gave her life to Jesus.
Amen.
Does she know it all? No. Do you guys know it all? No. But we start with inviting Jesus into our heart, and that's what she did. Arabella, I'm so proud of you. She used to be my neighbor. Then she left me. Yeah. So anyways, we're going to baptize her, right? Yeah. So if you would, amen, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And pray for Carl. Good gracious, he's crying like a baby up here. And all God's people said,
amen.
All right, let's pray. We'll dismiss. Y'all can come from a distance. We're trying to social distance and just love her. Father Almighty, thank you for Arabella giving her life to you. And I pray for her life, that it would just be a glory to you, Father, and be with parents, that they would bring her child to church and grow them in the Lord. And I praise you for Mike and Annie, Father. They want their children to know you, and I thank you, God, for that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, there you go.